with real sexual experiences, because that's not matching up at all with what they see in these videos. Because this fantasy world, they don't know what a real relationship is, because pornography is all about you. It's about your needs, what you want, when you want it, what you like. There's something available for all those things. Yet sex, as God's design for a man and a wife, requires two people that both have needs and feelings. And it's not just about one person. And as we started uncovering some of this stuff about pornography, our thought was, we'll put it up online and create this safe place. We have a prayer wall on the site where you can put your prayer requests, and other people can pray for that. And other people can just kind of look through that list and go, oh, there's other people in my shoes. We found that the average age someone sees this is 11 years old. It's also one of the fastest growing addictions amongst senior citizens. That doesn't freak you out. You've got 11-year-olds all the way to senior citizens, men, women. Doesn't matter what you believe or don't believe in God. This is a topic that so many are dealing with. The revenue from the sex industry, $70 billion a year. That's $12 billion just in the United States. And if you were to categorize that would be larger than the NFL revenues, NHL, Major League Baseball, and NBA combined. The Girls Next Door. Some of you probably watched that. It's the number one show right now on cable television, the life of the three women that live with 82-year-old Hugh Hefner at the Playboy Mansion. And this is what our culture is fascinated by. I mean, Paris Hilton makes a porn tape and it makes your career. Kids are at the mall buying shirts that say porn star, thinking that this is such a great thing to aspire to be. Our culture has really lied to us. And so at Triple X Church, we talk about those things. We decided to launch the site at the most unusual place, I think, imaginable. But it makes sense. There's a porn convention that happens in Las Vegas every year. About 70,000 people gather for this show. And we thought, well, if we have the number one Christian porn site, let's take that right to the porn industry. And I'm not talking about outside with the picket signs and the yelling and the megaphone. I'm talking about inside. I called up the company one day and I just told them I had a website. I left out the ordination. I'm available for funerals and weddings and that whole deal. I just said, I have a website. They said, great. It's a $5,000 for a booth at our convention. American Express took care of that, and we went to Vegas. And that was 6 years ago. I brought my wife with me. I'm not dumb, and neither is she. And we went. We were scared, thinking they might hurt us. They might throw us out as soon as they uncover that we're actually pastors. But what are we going to do at a porn show? And we thought, you know what? You can't blame the dark for being dark. You got to blame the light for not shining on the dark. And we went. We had this simple little booth. I had some information about our website, and we just engaged people in conversation. And people would walk by, and they, well, what's wrong with porn? Well, what do you mean? You're a pastor. What are you doing at this show? And we had some remarkable conversations. One of the things that happens was one of the guys that puts on the show in Los Angeles came up to me, and he said, are you guys coming to my show? I don't know. We haven't thought that ahead. We're just about a week out right now in this ministry. We got to go back to youth ministry stuff as soon as we finish up here in Vegas. He says, well, if you come and as long as you can show me that you're a nonprofit, I'll get you a half off. I said, you got Christian discounts at porn shows? He said, well, don't advertise them like that, but yes, we can help you out. I had no idea that this, I was thinking they're going to hurt us. 6 years later, we've been to more porn shows than I can tell you about. We're going to Miami next week, spring break. There's a huge show at South Beach. They expect 50% in attendance will be women because of this younger porn generation audience. We've been to shows in London and Toronto. We've been to shows, obviously, in Los Angeles. And now our ministry just says, you know what, this is where we got to go. This is where we got to be. Not every weekend. Most weekends we're at places like this, but on a few weekends a year. And we came up with something. If you show up this slide real quick, that's a guy I met at a porn show. And I asked him, what's in his bag? And he told me, he showed me some product. It was pornography. And here's the thing I don't understand. 75 to 80% of people that look at porn all by themselves. So when you go to a porn show, why do they give you a large bag that you can't hide from anybody? And this is enormous. So I said to him, what are you going to do with all this stuff? Because he's got to hide it from somebody. Because he was there on business, supposedly, on that trip. And so he said, I haven't thought that much about that. And I think that's what a lot of us do sometimes. We start bringing a little bit of this stuff into our lives without thinking about the consequences, without thinking about what this is going to do to our relationship, not only with God, but our relationship with our girlfriend, our boyfriend, our spouse, our family. And pretty soon we have this bag full of this stuff. Maybe for you it's not even pornography. Maybe it's just other stuff that you crave, other stuff that you've just thrown into that bag. And pretty soon that stuff starts to get heavy. We thought nothing in that bag is fulfilling him. Maybe temporary, but nothing is really satisfying him. What could we put in that bag that would fulfill him? And that's what we came up with. That's our booth. It says, Jesus loves porn stars. If you understand it, it makes sense. If you kind of go, wait, does? Yes, Jesus loves porn stars as much as he loves pastors. And that's the message of the good news that we want to share with these people. And in front of that booth, we have thousands of Bibles. If you hit the next slide, you'll see what happens. Because we give out Bibles and they say Jesus loves porn stars. The ones with the waterfalls and the cross and the WWJ, that stuff wasn't available. So we made our own. We didn't change anything on the inside because that would be wrong. But we just changed the cover. And people freak out. They walk by our booth and they say, what is this? And they start going through it. And I say, you're not going to find even one picture. Not even red letters, because that was expensive. And we just did black letters. What, it's a Bible? And whether you're at a church or a porn show, you understand what a Bible looks like. And why is this? And what happens? I mean, we don't have to fake anyone out and throw these in and hope that someone takes it. People grab it. I mean, every show we go to, you'll see just our empty boxes of Bibles. We're bringing 5,000 next week to Miami. That will be about 20,000 Bibles that we'll have given out this year. And our hope is by giving something away like this, and God's word says that this doesn't return void. I don't know if people read it that night, but I do know it has the power to change lives. We've seen people leave the porn industry. We've got a porn producer that I met the very first show named Donnie Pauling that not only left 9 years of the industry, making $500,000 a year, ended up enrolling in seminary and is going to become a pastor. We've seen girls and other people that have decided, you know what, I don't want to do this with my life. And what we've noticed in traveling to churches and to the porn shows and to college campuses, that the same conflict oftentimes runs through all these circles. That the porn producer, the porn star, and the consumer all share that conflict. I don't want to be doing this. The guy that is about to get married, well, as soon as I get married, I'm going to stop. The producer, as soon as that door opens up for Hollywood, I'm done with this stuff. And then that other actress that says, you know what, I can't be doing this for too much longer. My parents don't know. And there's that conflict of, I don't want to be doing this. So today I want to talk about, what do we do then when we want to stop? There's a passage in Romans chapter 7 written by a guy named Paul who writes about half the New Testament, had an amazing conversion of his own. But now he's caught up in a place where he's struggling with that temptation. And he says this, starting in Romans 7, starting in verse 18. He says, I need something more, for I know the law, but I can't keep it. And if the power of sin within me keeps sabotaging my best intentions, I obviously need help. I realize I don't have what it takes. I can will it, but I can't do it. I decide to do good and I don't do it. I decide not to do bad and I do it anyways. My decisions, such as they are, don't result in actions. Something's gone deeply wrong within me and it gets the better of me every time. It happens so often, it's predictable. The moment I decide to do good, sin is there to trip me up. I truly delight in God's commands, but it's pretty obvious not all of me joins in that delight. Part of me rebels, and when I least expect it, they take charge. I've tried everything, and nothing helps. I'm at the end of my rope. Is there no one who can do anything for me? Isn't that the real question? The answer, thank God, is that Jesus Christ can and does. He acted to set things right in this life of contradictions where I want to serve God with all my heart, but I'm pulled by the influence of sin to do something totally different. And let me just tell you, if that's you today, it's okay. I mean, Paul says, I'm at the end of my rope. I've tried everything. Nothing helps. And I think we've all been there at one point in our lives where we feel like this is just our lot in life. This is just what we've kind of become. There's no way out. And Paul is saying, there is a way out. Is there anybody that can help me? The answer is that Jesus Christ can and does. And I want to give you three things if you're struggling here tonight that you could do. That the first would be you've got to go to God with this. You've got to understand that there's a God that loves you. There's a God that says if you have a relationship with him, his Holy Spirit, another word for the Holy Spirit is his helper, dwells inside of you. It will guide and direct your paths. He's not a God that looks down at you and points his finger or counts how many times you've struggled. He's a God that says, I want to give you help. He doesn't promise it's going to be easy. Doesn't promise you'll never struggle again. But he says, I'll be there with you. And I think a lot of times, because it's a secret, because a lot of us have kept this from everybody, we just think, well, I can't go to God with this. Yes, you can. You've got to. You can't do this without him. That's why now when we go to porn shows or we go to church, it's the same message. We want to give people the word of God. We want to point people in that direction. I can give you some practical things, moving your computer out of the house, putting a filter. We'll get to some of that. But the first step is acknowledging that you need God. Part of that needing God is confessing this and agreeing to turn in the opposite direction, saying, God, I'm done with this stuff and I'm ready to repent and move the other way. You've got to go to God. You've got to realize that he wants to help you. I know it's a tough thing because you feel like, I'm going to let him down. I mean, I can't do this, but you've got to talk to God about this. Even in your time of struggle, maybe calling out on his name. Not just after, but when you're tempted, when you're faced with this, running to God with this. The second thing that I would challenge you with is to talk to somebody else about this. And as easy as those words are to come out of my mouth, it's the toughest thing that you'll probably ever do. Because this is something that you've never told anybody. You want help. You don't like your situation. You don't even like maybe what you've become, but you've definitely don't want to share that with anybody else. And I think we've gotten good in church of putting on the face for church and pretending like everything's okay and hiding this stuff, but there's no way you can continue to do that because this is very progressive. This will get you to do things you never thought you would do. This will take you to places you never thought you would go. I don't know Ted Haggard. I don't know Governor Spitzer. But when I watch those stories and hear that on the news and dealing with what I've been dealing with for 6 years, you don't just start off one day visiting prostitutes. This comes from what we would call the end of Porn Boulevard. Probably years of secrecy, years of doing things, and then finally ending up in a situation that you never thought you would be in. And maybe some of you can relate with this, because when you first started your struggle with pornography, you deleted every one of those temporary internet files. You threw away the magazines as soon as you were finished. You got rid of the cable bill that came in the house. Now you're a little more careless. Now you're not covering up your tracks as much as you used to. Now you're not even just experiencing some of this stuff offline. Now you're involved in whether it's strip clubs or escorts or an inappropriate relationship at work. And pretty soon, the Bible says your sin's going to find you out. And let me tell you, it's going to be a lot easier to talk to somebody now on your own than it will be if you wait and you get caught. The Bible says it like this. It says, confess your sin, you'll prosper. Conceal your sin, you will not prosper. Let me tell you, it could be the difference of keeping your marriage or losing your marriage. Keeping your job or losing your job. When it's on your terms, you're in so much better shape than when you wait and you get caught. And you will get caught. So talk to somebody. How do you do that? I mean, that's a difficult thing. We get so many emails to Triple X Church. Interesting enough, they don't go to Craig at XXXChurch.com. Because, that's that guy who spoke. That's the face that I saw. They go to info@XXXChurch.com. Because we live in a world that if you have a smoking problem, you wear, a patch. You've got a drug problem. You've got this. You've got financial problems. Donald Trump's got a seminar. There's other books. You got a weight problem. There's plenty of, there's a shake. There's a pill. There's a number of different beach diets or whatever. And we live in that world where we think, we got a problem. There's got to be a cure. And so we get these emails to info@XXXChurch.com, which isn't a real person. I mean, a real person responds, but it's these crazy testimonies. And then at the end is, please help me. And we read this stuff going, okay. We hit reply and we say, have you shared this with anybody? And they write back, well, I just told you. No, I'm talking a real person, not to info. And we can't just spit back to you these quick steps that are going to be easy, that aren't going to maybe have consequences, that are going to just be solved like that. Oftentimes we'll say, can we forward what you just wrote me and confess to me to somebody close to you? And people, forget it. And oftentimes that's where our correspondence ends with these people. We developed something on our website. It's called X3 Watch. You can get it at XXXChurch.com. We developed it, and it's free. There's no catch there. It's free. It's available for PC computers or Macintosh. And what it does is when you download this, it's called accountability software. And what happens is you download this and it asks you for 2 email addresses. And those are accountability partners. So I put my wife and my best friend Jake, the 2 closest people to me in my life. Every 2 weeks, they get an email sent to them of any questionable website that I look at, along with the date and the time. So there's no secrets. I don't struggle with pornography. That's not my temptation, but I'm not off the hook. Because when Jake gets my report, he'll say, okay, Craig, there's no porn on there, but how's your relationship with God? How's your relationship with your wife? How's your travel schedule? Is it out of control? And we'll have conversations, and I've allowed Jake into my life to ask me those tough things. If you do struggle with porn, and your spouse has your X3 Watch accountability statements, your mom gets your accountability report statements, this will change your world. Because now, and make sure if you sign them up, especially your mom, make sure you tell her that you signed her up. Don't surprise anyone with this stuff. They'll freak out going, wait, because it's got the site, the time, the day, and it will even tell your partner if you close the application. It's accountability. We can't force you. But if you do shut it down at 12 o'clock at night, it's going to say, shut it down at 12 o'clock at night. Then you got more explaining than it would have been just to have those websites listed. We've had 70 million people visit our site. In 6 years, we've had about 500,000 take advantage of this software. It's not an end-all result. And I'm not saying it's the biggest cure for all this, but it's a very good start. And what my, I guess, struggle is, I meet so many people that say they want help. I mean, when Paul says, I want help, I believe it, that this guy wants to do the right thing. But I hear so many people talking, and I'm like, you don't want to change. You really don't want this. I meet pastors all the time that say, well, I can't put the software on because I don't want people in my congregation to think I have a problem. Why do you want people in your congregation to think you have some integrity and some accountability in your life? Like, this isn't a bad thing to say, you know what? There's some things that trip me up. And the reason why I need to be accountable to people is so I don't continue to get tripped up. This isn't just about getting rid of porn in our life. This comes back to the things that God has for each and every one of us, the leaders that he wants us to be in our community, in our families, the gifts that he's given us, the ideas. The one thing that will hold you back is the sin in your life, especially the secretive sin that you haven't shared. And if you can talk to somebody about that, you're going to be in such greater shape. Those conversations might not wrap up by the end of a meal. They're going to be tough. But they're a must. You've got to find somebody. In fact, every one of you is going to have a a card in your bulletin. And there's a number of things from like 7 different Celebrate Recovery meetings of like minds of people that are just saying, you know what, I struggle. There's counseling numbers. There's even going to be something here tomorrow night, a panel to kind of dive into this topic a little bit more, and a great opportunity to come back and say, you know what? Yeah, look, this is going on in my home. This is a real thing. There's small groups, obviously, that you guys are all involved in that maybe you could bring this up in and say, you know what? I need to meet with you once a week, and I signed you up for this software, and let's talk about this stuff and no longer keep it a secret. Confess it to God, confess it to somebody else, and the third thing I would challenge you with is to clean it up. The Bible says it like this. It says in 1 Corinthians, run away from sexual sin. No other sin affects the body like this one, so run away from it. Well, how do you run away from it in a world today that we live in, that we're inundated with this? I would go back to the proverb that says a fool returns to his sin like a dog goes back to its vomit. We're going to go back to this stuff every time. If your computer's hooked up, high-speed internet, you've got it in the basement, not in an open place where it's available for everyone to see, you're going to go back to this. The pay channels that you have, the magazines that are underneath your bed, the relationship at work, you're going to go back to these things. And so what we need to do is decide that my relationship with God is worth it. My relationship with my spouse is more important, that I've got to make some changes in my life to clean it up, to remove it. Maybe that is saying, you know what, I'm going to cancel the internet. I'm going to put a filter on there. We have links on Triple X Church to filter so that this stuff doesn't even come in. I'm going to move the computer. I'm going to actually go to bed the same time my spouse does. Sometimes it's tough for me. It's 7:30 some nights. We've got 2 small kids. But better things happen when you go to bed with your spouse rather than go downstairs to the basement when you know late at night this is what I'm going to be inundated with. I'm going to delete my MySpace account that I've created that doesn't represent at all who I am. It's just this world of fantasy that I've created. I'm going to decide that it's worth it to make these choices to clean it up. This kid came up to me after our service and he said, that was good. I have your software and it works well. I said, yeah, well, thanks, man. It's awesome to meet people that have this. And he says, but it doesn't work on my cell phone. I said, man, we're fighting porn. This is a $70 billion industry. We've got not unlimited resources here. Did we think we'd have to create software for cell phones 6 years ago? No. But we do. I mean, obviously, you got the iPhone, the BlackBerry, the Palm Pilot. You got all these capabilities to access porn on a cell phone. So maybe one day we'll get there. But in the meantime, I said to him, don't wait for me to create a software for your porn problem on your iPhone. Why don't you go back to AT&T and say, I don't need this phone, and downgrade. And that was a word he didn't want to hear. Downgrade. Yeah, get the Nokia 50. Mine was orange. It doesn't fit in this pocket or any of my pockets. It's got the antenna wood, but it's got one game on it, the space bar game. You got 3 lives. You could never get a 4th live no matter what you did. The space bar goes across and the dots. Looked at me like, why in the? Because you have a porn problem and you're looking at it now on a cell phone. So call them up and say, I don't need the cell phone. Or just disconnect the internet capability from your cell phone. He kind of walked away and thought I was mean. And I'm not mean. I'm just tired of talking to people that really don't want to change. And you've got to want it more than I want it for you. You've got to decide that this is worth it, because back to Paul saying, this is tripping me up. This is getting in my way of the things that God has for me. Beyond just getting in the way, this will take you down a path that, trust me, you don't want to go. I've taken people to jail. I've seen marriages ripped apart. I've seen kids that have just the most warped understanding of sex because of this. Confess it to God, confess it to somebody else, and decide, I've got to clean it up and do it today. I'll close with this. At the porn shows that we go to, we were being interviewed for a show called Nightline. guy named Martin Bashir comes up to me and he says, you know, Craig, I've heard about your ministry. Is it true that you know that Ron Jeremy guy that's over there? And I just kind of laughed. I said, yes, I know that Ron Jeremy guy over there. And he said, get him over at the booth. There's the picture. Martin Bashir, myself, and Ron Jeremy. If you don't know who Ron is, he's 55. He's been in 2,000 adult films. He starred in them. He's been in this industry 30 years, almost the time that I've been alive. He's been in porn. He's slept with over 5,000 women. That's his career. That's his credits. He's known as the porn king. I'm known as the porn pastor. Not a title I ever asked for, but that's what it is. A company in New York decided these two would be good together. Let's put them out there and debate each other. And I said, that'd be great. I could speak at churches most Sundays, but universities, that'd be a wonderful thing to speak to his audience because he draws thousands of people when he goes to these places. So it's the porn debate. I got 20 minutes, he's got 20 minutes, then kids ask us questions. It's crazy. 2,000, 3,000 kids. We travel the country doing these. We got two next week. We had one just two nights ago. Well, what happens when you're at these universities, you ride on the same plane, you're in the same car, you're at the same hotel. So Ron and I have become good friends. He's met my wife, my dad, my pastors, our board of directors. I take people with me. He's always wondering, well, why are these people with you? Because they're friends, Ron, and I want to share them with you. And he's a guy that I pray for, a guy that hasn't decided that Jesus is the answer, but a guy that we continue to have a relationship with. So he comes over the booth, and Martin says to Ron, so Ron, what do you think of Craig? And Ron always says the same things. I like him. I'm glad he's here for these people that are struggling. Then he looks over at me, and I think he's going to ask me the same thing. What do you think of Ron? But instead, he says, is Ron going to get into heaven? It was TV, cameras, people at our booth. There's no, hey, after dinner, we'll go into that one. I just looked at Ron, and I said, Ron, porn won't keep you out. The 5,000 women, the 2,000 videos, if you realize that hole in your heart that you and I know exists, that you've talked about, if you realize that hole in your heart could only be filled by God, there's nothing you could do that would make God love you any less. Kind of just put his head down and didn't know what quite to say, but I thought about that question for months. And it's the same thing I share with you. You haven't done what he's done. You haven't spent your life possibly doing those things. But the same thing goes, that there's nothing that you could do that would make God love you any less. And my hope is that you walk out of these doors today not discouraged, not beat up, not feeling like you're worthless, like this is just your lot in life. But you walk out of these doors encouraged to know that there's a God that loves you and desperately wants to get to know you, desperately wants to help you, wants to give you what it says in his word is a better life. And he says, this stuff over there, it's not going to satisfy you like I can. That'd be my hope. Go ahead and bow your heads with me. God, I thank you for this church that is willing to say, we're not going to run away from this topic. Because we realize there's a number of families that need to have this talk. There's a number of couples. There's a number of people sitting in these chairs that need a way out. Need some support around them. Need the answer that is only found in Christ Jesus. So God, I pray for the next couple days, as there'll be plenty of opportunities here to dive into this topic a little deeper, to have these conversations at home, to maybe say things and share things that we've never shared before. And so God, I pray for boldness. I pray for compassion. For the ears that will hear things that will upset them, that will disappoint them. And I pray that you could work in a way that only you could God, I thank you that you offer us something better. And once we realize what this sin is, how it's weighing us down, how it's leaving us just defeated, I pray we realize that there's something better around the corner. God, I thank you for Jesus who makes this all possible. Because of his death and resurrection, he offers us new life. So if there be anybody here that doesn't know you in a real way, I pray that they understand that your arms are open, that you're not a God that is pointing his finger or counting their mess ups. You say, I love you. I want to help you through this. God, we love you. We thank you for that good news. I pray this in your name. Amen.
It's pretty real, isn't it? I think one of the things that is so important, I mentioned it before we started, is that none of us are exempt from this kind of stuff. I'm not. Man, it's a huge temptation to me. And we just thought it would be good for you to see one of the guys that's one of our founding guys here at Kensington, Dave Wilson. He's a teaching pastor at Kensington. I think, I don't even know if he's been out here yet. I think maybe one time. But he and his wife, Ann, are just going to tell a little bit of their story as it relates to this. Because we're just like you. So let's watch, and then I'll come up and talk a little bit after it. Before here. There's something when Dave and Ann are speaking and I'm in another location. For those of you that don't know, Dave and Ann were going to do a message here. It was a few months ago. And we went to start the tape and nothing came on and I had to go up and give the entire message. That was something to talk about. Want me to go on up? Okay. And here it is again. It's deja vu.
In 1985, I was invited as the Detroit Lions chaplain to start traveling with their team on road games. And, you know, at that moment, I thought it was pretty cool. I'll be on a, you know, pro football trip and be in a nice hotel. And so I started traveling with the team. That was 5 years before we started Kensington. Ann and I had been married 5 years. I remember checking in my first hotel on a road trip in Seattle. And they gave me my own room. It was a really nice hotel. I remember walking in. And as I put my clothes away and, you know, looked around the room, I noticed on top of the TV, this is how it was back in those days, there was this box. And it had a little card that said there's movies that you could rent. And I looked at the card and there were 6 movies. And 3 of them were like Hollywood hits and 3 of them were porn. And back in 85, it was sort of like soft core porn, they called it. And I remember looking at that thing going, there's no way I'd watch that. I'm a pastor. I'm not going to struggle with this stuff. It's off limits for me. But as I looked at the card, I realized it said free 5-minute preview. That has changed today as well. But back then, you could watch up to 5 minutes before it be added to your bill. And then it's on your bill. So as soon as I saw that, I would love to tell you, I just said, I'll never do that. I looked at that and thought, nobody will know. I can watch up to 5 minutes. Nobody will ever know. It's just me. So I should have ran out of that room, but I didn't. Door was locked. Nobody was there but me. I went, bink, bink. It was about that long. Couldn't have been more than 10 or 15 seconds. I hit one of those channels. I looked down at the TV. I didn't even sit down. I just looked at it, and I turned it right off. And I saw nudity and flesh and porn and heard noises I shouldn't be hearing. And from that second on, I had a dirty little secret. Now, you're looking at a guy that hadn't really struggled with pornography. I mean, I've seen Playboy and Penthouse when I was in college and even when I was 12 years old, but it was beyond me, you know, be in my past, and it was now over. But I could not believe when I returned home from that trip and walked in my house what I felt. Because I had a secret that I was not about to tell her or anybody. I was in a men's accountability group. I wasn't going to tell these guys. There's no way. I was embarrassed. But I couldn't also believe what started to go through my mind. 10 seconds of porn, and I'm starting to see things and hear things and have desires that weren't there before that 10 seconds. I didn't tell anybody. A week or maybe it was 2 weeks later, the Lions are on the road again. I'm on the road again. I walk into that room, and I'm thinking, no way. I'm not going to be pulled to this. And I tell you what, if you've ever struggled with this, you know the power. I walked in that room. I saw the same box, and I'm like, I'm in a war. I felt like I was in a war. I cannot, I got to run or I'm not going to do it. Guess what I did? Bink. Bink. I never rented a movie. I probably didn't watch more than 20 seconds. But again, the secret just began to grow bigger. So I came home and I decided I need to tell somebody. Just like Craig said, you got to tell somebody. I told my wife. Scariest stinking moment of my life. I mean, I was trembling. I sort of am right now because I don't want to tell anybody this secret, let alone a whole church. But I told my wife.
And I wish I could say that I said, wow, honey, I'll really pray for you. That's terrible. I was so angry that I didn't even think about praying. All I could do was yell. And I screamed, said, what are you doing? We're in ministry. And in my heart, the thing that was so hard for me is all of these insecurities began to rise that were already there anyway. And I thought, it's me. It's my fault. What have I done? And all I could do was yell at him. And I wanted to know, is this going to keep happening? And I was scared to death.
And I tell you, at that moment, I thought, see, I shouldn't have told her. I will never tell her if I ever struggle again. I really did. I was like... And then I got mad at her for getting mad at me, remember? I mean, we just screamed at each other. I'm like, I just told you something I haven't told anybody in life, and here's how you respond. Well, long and short is we don't have 2 hours to tell you the rest of the story. But that moment was the beginning for our marriage to go to another place in terms of intimacy with one another. I'm not talking about sexual intimacy. I'm talking about spiritual intimacy. The secret was now out. I told my accountability guys. And we put together a plan. That was what, 20 some years ago plus. And I am living in victory today. But I tell you, I would be a liar to stand up here and say every single day, I and many, many men I know, and I know women do as well, struggle as strong today as it ever has been. And without some of the things Craig just talked about, I would lose. And one of the things I want to invite you to, you've already heard us talk about it, but tonight at 6 p.m., we're going to host a panel right in the Troy campus. All right, we're inviting you to come. And men and women both, Ann and I will share the rest of this story and get a little more detail before then we split up and have the men stay with me with a panel and the women with Ann and ask any questions you want. And you can submit those anonymously on our website. I'll explain that in a minute. But we just want to go a little deeper and let people ask questions because you can't really ask them here on a weekend service, but you can ask them tonight at 6 p.m. So I hope to see you. And you may not be somebody struggling with it. You may know somebody struggling with it. You may just be a man or a woman who wants to be pure. Where you're going to have small groups there tonight that you can jump in one and says, I want to do better at this. I want to be pure, so I'm going to come. So tonight at 6 p.m., Troy campus, we'll see you there.